All right, that's gotta be 30 something minutes on story. I knew it was gonna be longer than gameplay, but I didn't know it was gonna be that long. Anyway, let's move on into the other stuff. The aesthetics, the tone, the mood of Mortal Kombat. None of us really went into blood and gore. It's not that it wasn't important to us. I think that it was more that it's just something that, you know, it's a Mortal Kombat standard. And, you know, without blood and gore, you kind of ignore a core piece of the Mortal Kombat brand. So we didn't spend time on blood and gore. So let's go with
Pink Ranger. I think the first and foremost thing to address is that as a woman, my appearance is constantly critiqued by both men and other women. So I have no problem admitting that if I was to be transformed into a character in a fighting game, then my overall appearance would be a high priority, especially in regards to the outfit I would wear. However, that doesn't mean that less fabric equals more sex appeal or a better appearance overall. If I were going to straight up fight someone in an alley, I wouldn't strip down into my bra and panties. My main concern for female fighting game characters are the overtly sexual and extremely unrealistic outfits they are put in. Take Sonya for example. Her shirt is very tight, very low cut, and very short. She's also not wearing a bra. One high kick and her breasts are going to pop out of that shirt, no matter how tight it may be, because essentially, it's a cut-off t-shirt and offers no support. The same can be said for Catwoman, barely zipped one piece. Her breasts would never stay confined, even with tape. In all reality, it would be easier and less distracting for her to fight naked than to constantly have to push her breast back into her top. There is no reason that Catwoman can't be zipped up more, still giving her cleavage, but not unrealistic amount. Catwoman uses her sexuality as an advantage, but I have never seen her that unzipped in any mainstream media form. Quite frankly, every time I can remember seeing any image of her, she is almost completely covered. She still manages to be a sexy character without bordering slutty. I don't equate less clothing with being sexy. Katana's outfit is far more suitable in a combat situation, as her breasts are well supported. She doesn't have every bit of skin showing because it isn't necessary. The bottom line is less is not always more. I say this as a female gamer who is tired of females being objectified in games and as a female being objectified in life because she keeps up with her appearance. I also feel that for an outfit to work, it has to make sense. It has to be cohesive in design and functionality. Take Melina's primary and alternate outfits for MK Deception. Once again, her breasts would never stay in that top. Frankly, her breasts are large enough where even getting that small bit of fabric to cover them would be hard enough as it is. The game goes for her barely there alternative outfit. Now I'm sure that Melina fans and many other fans alike will cry out blasphemy as Melina is supposed to be a sexy villainess. If that cheese stands alone, then it's fine with me. I'd rather speak my mind than stand alone to keep my mouth shut and run with the pack. Now, I'm not saying that showing skin automatically makes a woman a slut. I disagree with that completely, and I think that the design team has gotten a lot right in the past. Most notable, it's Jade's MKD alternative outfit, as well as Tanya's MKD primary. And my favorite costume design of all, Katana's MKDA alternate royal outfit. All those fit my idea of what is a good balance between the skin and appropriately balanced fabric. I 100% recognize in the past that quite a bit of the female characters had tastefully designed outfits. I just don't want to see a downward trend starting. My next concern is about the number of females compared to the number of males in MK vs. DCU and in past games. The gap is pretty large in comparison to other fighting games such as Soul Calibur and DOA, for example. However, I also think that both of those games have too many female characters. I think back in the developing stages of fighting games in the Street Fighter and MK1 2 era, there was a need and a want to bring in female characters that really had a wow factor. Something that made them equals to the male characters that were not more plentiful on the rosters. I think that really worked out well for those games in that era of gaming, but it's beginning to evolve, and the need for a bigger diversity is becoming almost demanded by the fans of the major fighting games. Now with that said, I think the majority of female characters in the MK universe were not or have been executed to the fullest of their potential. All of them have their hardcore fans that will argue against this with their dying breath, but which female characters introduced after MK3 are really memorable or iconic. I think some of them have a great deal of potential, but that is that it wasn't necessarily explored in the best way. I'm not saying this to offend, but to shed some light on what is already established with the small group of females that are part of the MK universe. Also, a great deal of the female characters have something to do with Katana. Jade, Melina, Sindel, and Tanya all have roots in Katana's story. Mick Lucifer.
Talking about design for Scorpion, you know, I think it's Deadly Alliance is the epitome, but, you know, the Mortal Kombat as a franchise is really not honored in the mythology of the ninja. And I think When it gets to a point, you've got Reptile, Smoke, Rain. Scorpion's the ninja of the series. That there is no other ninja. Deadly Alliance did a lot to start to look at the design of Scorpion more so as an individual and build on that logic and the practicality of the costume that's worn. And they did so maintaining elements of what we know of Scorpion, and you know, something as simple as refining the ninja mask to something more like what would exist and making it sort of a goldy quality, something practical, metallic, rather than this cloth sort of yet bright yellow abstraction of what would have existed. I think that's a good thing. You look at a game like Shaolin Monks, and I think the design there is just absolutely terrible. I think we should be operating on the thought that what we saw in those old games was the limitations of technology, and in truth, characters always looked like they did, something like Deadly Alliance, and I don't think those costumes were perfect, certainly Scorpion's wasn't, but a key to the Mortal Kombat future has to be instilling individuality into all of these characters in all aspects. And some characters are going to have similar appearances. The Special Forces particularly should probably look more alike. Sonya and Jax, they're part of a military unit. They should reflect that in their appearance. Sub-Zero should not look like Scorpion, and I don't care about the laughable story that says one was a mockery of the other. That's ridiculous. Sub-Zero, you know, the Shredder costume wasn't something I particularly liked, but I just appreciate that it really differentiated the Lin Kuei and certainly, you know, Sub-Zero from what we know of Scorpion. Bitter enemies don't dress alike unless it's a single white female. So removing these characters visually from each other is something I would greatly appreciate. I don't need yellow versus blue. It's gotta be Sub-Zero against Scorpion and these original designs that really instantly tell you who is who. You go to Reptile, the next ninja, quote unquote. I think the epitome of Reptile's design probably came with Mortal Kombat 4. I think the dinosaur-y version, I wasn't a big fan of it, but I would not argue against it. It had a great logic. It was really founded in an idea. And that was an example, maybe, I think, of concept leading design, and that's great. That's exactly the kind of thing I think Mortal Kombat needs to do across the board, but certainly I prefer, I have very little time for the design from Shaolin Monks, which was a compromise between ninja and not a ninja, and that's just not good enough. And you know, I was listening to a 1UP podcast recently that had the worst dressed characters in gaming, and someone made the joke, anyone from Mortal Kombat, and I think that's, you know, that's entirely fair. And as much as you don't want to be pleasing one individual or playing to one idea, you know, this, if you're building from a central logic and if you can answer any question with a solid, confident answer, then that's what you need to be striving for, and that's good enough. For Mortal Kombat, I think, why does the character look like this? He looks like this because, and if there is an answer at the end of that, then that's good enough. I don't think there is an answer for a lot of the existing designs, and I think we keep going backwards, pandering to the same sort of obsessive fan base that really, if they had their way, would be playing the same game with minor increments again and again, and quite frankly, they can already do that with the old game. Scorpion is a character who doesn't have a walk-in wardrobe. He's not going to be changing. He's certainly not going to be swapping ideas with Sub-Zero and shoulder pads and crap like that. Scorpion's a character that needs to get a good design, a logical design, a design that panders to the character and is a full allusion to a character, and then needs to stay still. Other characters might find reasons to change, and you know, you get these minor changes in characters that, you know, I mean, you get this horrible notion that it's a potential for an action figure, but really you get these very logic driven changes in the appearance of characters, and you want to let that happen organically. You don't want to manufacture that. Manufacturing it is when it is, you know, the potential for a new action figure release. You want to write the story first and then let the changes come from that. Changing the appearance of characters for a game release, that needs to stop. That just isn't intelligent. It's not admirable. You know, I think we've seen how that can be successful in something like Tekken, where changes have been minor to a lot of characters. You know, obviously there's a need to promote the game and Mortal Kombat's seen a lot of success from using character renders and things like that, but at the end of the day, I think investing in new characters is where elements like that can come in, and maybe relying less on one picture of one character in a brand new version of an outfit is something of the past. And you know, as reluctant as I am, there's qualities in the new MK vs. DC Scorpion outfit that are admirable, and if you could combine them with the more traditional ninja concept seen in the Deadly Alliance costume, I think that would be great, because at the end of the day, he's a character with powers from hell, and that probably should be reflected. And 15 years of Scorpion, he's been a pretty regular character. There's nothing exceptional about him, and he could probably be a lot stranger. I mean, as far as Scorpion goes, I almost want to look at references like Silent Hill and the tragic 90s elements of Mortal Kombat. It gets a bit too Spawn, maybe. Maybe that's not a bad thing, and I think, you know, the organic quality of the new mask, that's a Spawn kind of conceit. That's not terrible. But, you know, Silent Hill, these more frightening, more abstract concepts could probably be incorporated as Scorpion, who has sort of fulfilled that ninja niche, maybe without, you know, rightfully doing so. You know, I'm kind of torn, because conceptually Scorpion maybe should be a more hellacious, a more bizarre character, something, you know, a nightmare, but just weird. But at the same time, he's the ninja, and until there's a new ninja that really is a ninja, you know, he's the guy I want to see doing the ninja things. And for me, a great reference to the potential of Scorpion, and is currently my avatar on the MKO boards, is Joe Musashi from the Shinobi series. To me, like, the ultimate gaming experience as a spin-off might be Shinobi 3 starring Scorpion. Six Arm Samurai, why not?
Garlador.
First and foremost, the tone of MK has radically shifted since its original days. The early MK era, specifically MK 1 through 4, was far more brutal, realistic, and almost oppressive in tone compared to the relatively campy, light, and glamorized Mortal Kombat games that followed. One of the reasons so many fans such as myself adamantly oppose the current Mortal Kombat vs. DC game is because the tone is a complete contradiction to the tone we desperately want. It is only because the vast majority of gamers no longer take Mortal Kombat seriously does this entire crossover concept seem to work. But that's the big thing. Mortal Kombat needs to be taken seriously. Mortal Kombat has had several positive designs and a lot of negative ones in recent years. From a technical standpoint, they've all been adequate for character designs, models, and environments. However, adequate doesn't cut it. In my opinion, Mortal Kombat is the ugliest fighter on the market, even if it has its moments of sparkle. Pure and simple, the games have routinely been accused of being robotic, with subpar and questionable animations, rough models, and many, many ugly character designs. Even the recent Mortal Kombat vs. DC game, and all its next-gen glory, has severely disappointed me. This is a major category for me, since I'm studying extremely hard right now to master character modeling and texturing myself so that, conceivably, I can work on such games as the Mortal Kombat franchise and showcase some truly impressive work. Perhaps that's left me more critical than others, but the game visuals suffer from sloppy texture work, over-reliance on the modeling programs to do the job right, and some occasional very poor understandings of anatomy. While I'm not saying the graphics are bad, they're not exceptional either, and there's massive room for improvement. Again, compared to many other games on the market, the visuals just don't meet the standard fighting games expect. While I understand Mortal Kombat doesn't need to be the Ballad of Blaze or poetic display of flowing fists that games like Tekken or Soul Calibur are, it still looks mechanical, archaic, and unimpressive, and there's no reason this should be. Not after so long in the business.
The Predator.
What is Mortal Kombat to a Mortal Kombat fan? What is the potential that we keep talking about, that we keep bringing up, and the glory days and all this other stuff that you hear fans talking about, to the core fan base, the fan base that hasn't gone away for some 15 years in a lot of cases? Mortal Kombat is the high-octane, high-adrenaline, fast-paced fighting game. Now, don't get hung up on fast pace. So what that simply means is constantly having something to do. I tell you what, movie choreography. If you give us control of one of these, like Jackie Chan versus Benny the Jet, look on YouTube for that fight. If you give us control of that, you've exceeded all expectations, and if the mechanics and everything work out right, you're right on point. Secondly, Mortal Kombat is the scary fighting game the other fighting games on the market are, they're trying to get to where I'm talking about right now, actually. Some of them are stepping on the territory. You did it 15, 16 years ago, and then you veered away from it. Mortal Kombat is like Michael Myers, Freddy Krueger, Jason, lately, the Stephen King movie, The Mist. And this speaks to the mood. Another movie that has the mood of Mortal Kombat in it is that Silent Hill movie. That's the mood. The integrity of Mortal Kombat is relatively negative. That's your integrity. When you immerse us players in a realm that is, I want to say, like a bad dream. It's like a very terrifying nightmare. That's what it is. That's what Mortal Kombat's integrity is. You know, people can question you all day on the integrity of your gameplay and all of this other stuff, but the reason why Mortal Kombat isn't still in competition with these other games is the potential of this scary, fast-paced, high-octane fighting game. That's the concept. It's scary. So if you can grasp what I'm talking about here, then you can start to understand why, even though after understanding the premise of Mortal Kombat versus DC, you can start to understand why that this game that's getting ready to come out is not a Mortal Kombat game. It's a DC game with Mortal Kombat characters in it. I personally feel like with this game coming, what should have happened is the Mortal Kombat team or Midway should have brokered the deal between the DC universe and the Marvel universe, and you guys are supposed to be the developers in the middle of that brokered deal. That's my personal opinion. What's happening is you keep reinforcing a negative by trying to make a positive out of the game. Mortal Kombat's integrity is not positive, it's negative. You should accept the negative integrity that Mortal Kombat has and make a good game out of it. Third, Mortal Kombat is the shock value to the gaming industry. You don't have to try and shock us. If you made the right game, it would be shock enough. The industry already pays attention to when there's a Mortal Kombat game coming out because they already know what it's about. Somebody's getting their head ripped off. It's already shocking. So it's another one of those instances where it feels like you're overcompensating. There is no reason to do that because Mortal Kombat is already the shock value to the entire gaming industry. And I mean, if you look around, all these violent games that are coming out, you did it. It's your fault. Mortal Kombat as a brand needs to embrace the integrity that it has because that's what sells your games. It's the potential that we keep talking about that is never capitalized on, that it's jeopardized, really. Every time, you know, another, you know, over-goofy character gets in the game, or more of these silly modes or game interruptions or whatever you want to call them gets in the game, every time a Mortal Kombat versus DC concept gets around Mortal Kombat, you're betraying your own integrity. And that's the sellout and the betrayal and all this other stuff that you hear fans talking about on the internet. That's what we're talking about. You're not pandering to your own integrity. You're reinforcing a negative by trying to make a positive out of Mortal Kombat. So now that we're at this point, what everybody is looking for is, we're looking for you to double back to the glory days. Go back to the way that you were without violating the law, because nobody wants you to get in trouble for doing that. But we do want the integrity that Mortal Kombat is known for to shine through. That's what the potential is. All right, let me focus on the slogan of the year here for a second. Boone said something about this game being darker, grittier, and dirtier, or something like that. I just want to kind of break it down a little bit so that you guys can understand what maybe we're thinking you're talking about. When you say darker, grittier, dirtier, we're thinking some of these Rob Zombie's recreations lately, like the Michael Myers recreation or the Devil's Rejects. That's about right for darker, grittier, dirtier. darker does not mean blacker. And what I'm saying is people aren't afraid of the dark the same way they were 16 years ago. So it needs some modern day fears that are associated with that darkness to put it back in its proper place as a fear. If you're going to make the game blacker, some of the fears that I've been able to examine recently are helplessness, not having control of what you had control of before, anxiety, despair. Look at some of the phobias and put some of those inferences, those types of situations in an M-rated Mortal Kombat game. It's appropriate. Stuff that maybe there'd be a situation where you're in the story mode and you get attacked while you're in small quarters. That's claustrophobic. And it's a fear of being attacked by some unknown quality, whatever. But, you know, loss of control is terrifying. Mortal Kombat is the threat to these other fighting games out here because of its integrity. And because its integrity is a darker, or it has a darker feel to it, you should be capitalizing on that potential. That's the potential that you're not getting in some of these latest games. The next thing is the grittier portion of that. It doesn't mean dirty. It means a newfound hostility. That's what the new understanding of grittier means. Grittier doesn't mean throw dirt around, and it helps to throw dirt around, but grittier means visceral. A newly defined viciousness or sinister to describe grittier. Calculated deceitfulness or utter betrayal. And then the last thing is dirtier. Dirtier doesn't necessarily mean more dirt. It's closely related to what grittier means in its modern understanding. More realistic is dirtier. That is fucking dirty if somebody did that to somebody else. And it's already an element of Mortal Kombat. It doesn't have to fit. I think the graphics in MK versus DC get closer, but they're still not there. There needs to be more reality in the game. You need photorealism. And so for the arcade and for the story modes, if you're going to continue to go that way with it, if it means having less of a roster, so be it. The game needs to look better. The season of fall, you know, September, October, November, and into December is a really dark season. And there's vibrant colors all over the place. Newly defined gritty is where it's at. You couple that in the gameplay with not only a great concept and execution on your gameplay stuff, but a fantastic story and a fantasy element that complements that excellent story-driven Mortal Kombat game. In saying that, first thing you want to do is go back to a contest. Contests can happen for any reason. Real-life Shell and Monks hold contest just to see where whoever is at. In Mortal Kombat, the Shao Kahn and the Tarkatan hordes, they just like fighting. I'm pretty sure there's contests all the time that see them kill whoever the challenger is. That's Mortal Kombat. Look at movies like Jet Li's Unleashed. And we have no idea why that contest existed except for the fact that there was people who were investing in whatever fighter or that they were just there for mere entertainment. Contests can happen for any reason. Somebody could pass the torch. They could be fighting over sacred land. Whatever. Mortal Kombat is the threat to these other fighting games out here. It needs to return to being that. So, but that's the darker, grittier, dirtier, man. Another thing that I wanted to touch on is the special powers and stuff like that. The kids' cartoon shows, the Avatar, Last Airbender, and the Naruto, those series, if you watch, I don't know, watch three episodes, and you'll get a good sense of how much more stuff you can be doing with mere elemental characters. There is no way that there should be 10 fire element characters on the roster. There should be one. One guy who does all things fire, one guy who does all things water, necromancers, and there's levels too. I mean, like, for instance, Shang Tsung, Quan Chi, and Shinnok. We should be able to distinguish them if they are in the same vein. Those guys are all necromancers. So, but you see, there should be one, not 20 of them or whatever. You know, if there's more than one of them, then it should be by, you know, association, like Jackson Sonya, you know, or the Lin Kuei or the Shirai Ryu, if there's multitudes of them. But they should all be there. Nobody should be sharing anything. That's the point. So anyway, arenas and, like, secrets in arenas. Remember in the first Mortal Kombat movie where Liu Kang how Liu Kang found Reptile, where he pulled him out of that corner when he was invisible. That's the secrets in the new Mortal Kombat. Find a way to implement that and put that into gameplay where it's by chance or by opportunity. That's secrets. There's the secrets. Not a whole bunch of chests throughout the game. That's terrible to do that. Chests should have money in them. They should be far and in between that you find them. And when you get them, they should be worth finding. Secrets should be hidden within the action. They should make the game entertaining how you find secrets and things of that nature. In the arenas, if you want to put stuff like, you know, arena deaths and all that in, I don't even think you should have arena deaths, to tell you the truth. You should probably just have obstacles in the arena that make fighting tougher. So a couple ideas are, Mortal Kombat 2 had the graveyard arena, right? Mortal Kombat versus DC Universe has the graveyard arena. What would happen if a corpse came up from out of the ground and grabbed one of the player's feet, and there's a mechanism there that allowed you to shake out of it real quick, but it discombobulated you for a second, and that complicated the flow of gameplay while in gameplay. Don't interrupt gameplay. What if who was that? I think it might have been Benjamin Franklin who had the apple hit him on the head. What if there's an apple or something really fucked up, like a squirrel that falls from a tree or, you know, something really, like, holy shit. What if a dog or a cat or some kind of, depending on what world you're in, some kind of monster or something, some little pet ran across the screen that you could trip over if you weren't being careful. You know, and I don't mean on some continuum, I just mean by chance. If you want to put things in the game, those little things help gameplay. Interrupting my game, I don't want to hear about that shit. It deters me from even wanting to play it, because it's a gameplay, you're advertising it as if it's a major portion of the gameplay, and it shouldn't be. It should be something that you don't tell us about during the campaign for the coming game, and when we get into the game, that's the surprise that makes the game a hell of a lot better than what you were talking about. Another thing you could do with arenas is take the courtyard and treat it like one of these bar fights in one of these Asian martial arts movies. It plays into the mythos of Mortal Kombat. I mean, you know, imagine that. What if instead of going back and forth on this 2D plane or even 3D arena, you go up into the crowd. I chase you up into the crowd. People are jumping up, flying all over the place. You could be fighting against those assholes and also trying to fight against the asshole that's trying to kill you. That's a compliment to gameplay. All right, the last thing on arenas is the fatality screen, where the screen goes black. That needs to be reinvented so bad. And what's a shame is 16 years ago, you hinted on it when in Mortal Kombat 1 and Mortal Kombat 2, the screen didn't just go black. What happened in Mortal Kombat 1 is that when the screen went blacked out, grayed out, or whatever, if you look at it, it was in effect on the arena as a consequence of the screen graying out like that. And you know what the new version of that is? It looks like that scene in Silent Hill, in that Silent Hill movie where the girl gets her skin ripped off of her entire body. That's a fatality screen. And I'm not even entirely sure that they didn't get that concept from Mortal Kombat, because it is exactly what Mortal Kombat's fatality screen needs to look like right now. What's wrong with it right now is when you, the first time you started going in and blacking the screen, literally blacking the screen out, you made a mistake. And I think that's MK4. It's been wrong ever since Mortal Kombat 4. And it hasn't done anything but gotten blacker and blacker and worse. We need to see what happens. We need to see everything. I make the comment often enough that you can die anywhere. So, say for instance, I'm in Edenia, beautiful Edenia, and I'm getting ready to do a fatality. What should happen is things in your environment should die. If there's people or animals walking around, if there's, the plants and plants and trees and all this shit like that, these things should die off. It should seem like Poison Ivy from the DC universe showed up and just sucked the life out of shit. That's what it should look like. If I'm on the street arena or the balcony arena, some of the buildings should deteriorate at a rapid pace and like fall apart. Like it was in the Silent Hill movie, you could have ash floating around, you know, like from a cigarette or cigar, like ashes floating around, and the screen should actually die. That screen needs an improvement. That's part of the excitement of playing Mortal Kombat is the fatalities. So the fatality screen itself needs an overhaul. Don't take the visibility away. Kill the screen. Gray the screen out. Make stuff happen to the environment. And then right when it gets to its worst, the fatality is performed. Perfect. Fantastic. Because it's boring. It's terrible. In Mortal Kombat versus DC Universe, it still suffers from the same blacked out, the same thing. I can't see it. How in the name of am I supposed to be able to enjoy Mortal Kombat? It hints on another point that there's so much potential in Mortal Kombat. You don't need to deviate from Mortal Kombat to get a fresh new Mortal Kombat. These little mini games and all that's the potential I see wasted when I look at Free Fall Combat and Close Combat. The next thing is Mortal Kombat is the fighting game with an extremely interesting story element. This speaks directly to the potential. Mainly, you're the only fighting game with a really good potential for an excellent story element, and it got 100 times better when you introduce the story mode. It got that much better. There's a point to be made here. In Mortal Kombat versus DC Universe, when you introduced the story mode and that we were going to be able to go up one side and go up the other side and all that stuff, one of the best parts about a free-roaming, like open-world type of game, a side game like that, is optimal control. So when I hear that the story mode's going to, you know, it's going to progress you through it, that's bad news. It's not good news to hear that I'm going to play as Sub-Zero and then in one breath I'm going to play as Sub-Zero and then you're going to make me play with Scorpion and Raiden and whoever else. And then the only option that I really have in it is to switch over to the DC side of things and play through that story mode. That's not exciting. It's not exciting to imagine that I'm going to have to stop playing with my character, even though I may want to keep playing with my favorite character through that mode. What you want to do is you want to give us the option to play with whoever we want to through the whole thing when we want to. You want to give us as much control as possible. You don't want to take any control with them. If you're going to make an open world type game, it should mirror something like Shaolin Monks. For the most part, from what I can tell, most people love that game. I still play that game over Mortal Kombat, Deadly Alliance, Deception, and Armageddon. I'll still go back and play Mortal Kombat Shaolin Monks because I had more options. And the game didn't necessarily end when it ended. I could still go through and do things and find stuff, etc., etc. Now, this isn't judging you before I get to play that mode, because I don't doubt that you probably put some pretty inventive things in there, but it's not good news. I'm not excited about that aspect, that attribute of the game at this point. I think the best ones are Shaolin Monks and the story mode in Deception with Shujinko. Those are your best ones. I think that you could take the length from the Mortal Kombat Deception story mode and add some things from Mortal Kombat Shaolin Monks, it would be damn near perfect. And I mean, pick and choose from the Armageddon Conquest mode. I think the next step up from where Mortal Kombat Shaolin Monks kind of left off at is it should look something like Prototype, that game that got delayed until next year. When I saw the trailers and was getting information on that game, I thought Mortal Kombat. I thought you could easily substitute their main character for Sub-Zero or Scorpion or Liu Kang or Kung Lao or a character like Baraka or maybe Katana or Melina or somebody like that. When I watch their trailers and stuff like that, Prototype, I got a Mortal Kombat vibe from that game immediately, right away. So that's probably the best model current day that I can see for the next story mode. And from the way they did the story element in the game to the way they did violence in that game, that's a Mortal Kombat game. It just has different characters in it, in my opinion. Don't get rid of the Conquest mode. Just make it better and give us way more options. Let us take who we want to. That includes the created character, too. If that's possible, that would be the best thing you could possibly do, is let us take our created character through a Conquest mode and develop our character that way. What if I could grow my character instead of just inputting an ending story form? That would have been fantastic. But yeah, don't take any control away from us. Don't interrupt gameplay. That means a smaller roster. Again, so be it. The game needs to be better than what it is right now. Taking the control away from us doesn't do anything but detour us away from wanting to keep playing the game. I want to touch on fantasy for a second. When I'm talking about a fantasy element, I'm not talking about Harry Potter. I'm talking about Interview with the Vampire. I'm talking about Warlock. I'm talking about painters such as Boris Vallejo and Julie Bell. I'm talking about that kind of fantasy element. Stereotypes don't substitute for the fantasy element. Like a few of us have mentioned, this should be a nightmare. Understand that the fantasy element in a nightmare is it's surreal. It's unrealistic. But the problem with that surrealism, that unrealistic quality of a nightmare, usually it has you in it, you know, so you're the real character. You're in unreal situations, like these characters in Mortal Kombat. You're being thrust into these fantastic situations, and you have to make critical decisions, or else you're gonna suffer in your dream. Your dream's gonna last longer. You're gonna die. You're gonna fall off of something. What terrifies people in their dreams? That's what Mortal Kombat is. And that speaks to the voice actors, too. When you have your voice actors doing these things, like you're talking to a family member, like you're talking to a subordinate, like you're talking to your boss, like you're talking to anybody out here on the streets, how do you have a regular conversation? These things should not sound scripted. It takes away from the realism that the game must have in order to be a real Mortal Kombat game. The next thing is, Mortal Kombat is the franchise that has characters in it that could quite possibly have their own line by themselves. And I'm talking the Sub-Zero series. There's enough going on in this guy's subplot to have his own few games. We should have Mythologies 2, Sub-Zero, or the Lin Kuei versus the Shirai Ryu. That should be a game. That should be a series. That should be one or two games. We should have Mythologies Raiden. He's billions of years old. There's plenty of stuff to draw from to make a game or two out of that. And the staple characters like these are around enough of the other characters on the roster in order to make it work. We should have an Idenia game. Rain, Katana, Melina, Shao Kahn.
Mick Lucifer.
Mortal Kombat has this great advantage of the franchises as having the potential to go out and do these spin-offs, and Shaolin Monks, like any of the Mortal Kombat games, had its problems, but in its potential, it fulfilled so much more than other ideas. And Shaolin Monks, to me, is just a fantastic game. It's a great story-driven concept, even if the story and certainly the characterization did not live up to expectation. But it's driven by story, it's got great gameplay, it's such an accessible game without being dull. There was a lot of criticism heaped on Shaolin Monks, but I'd love to see them go back to that. You know, I almost think this is a great time for Mortal Kombat to take advantage, and if the MK team can be more receptive to outside sources, which I feel like they really haven't been for a very long time. If Ed Boon and the gang can give up some of that control and recruit some strong talent, you know, there's a great potential to expand the franchise and certainly, mine some of these properties for more of an experience. And earlier we were talking a bit about, the idea of the success of the shooter in the modern industry and how maybe, you know, special forces could be expanded. You know, that's a great thing. You know, I look at the Special Forces franchise and certainly the first Special Forces game and try to imagine that as sort of a pseudo linear GTA kind of model. And you know, if you almost take what Shaolin Monks did, expand every level to be more urban and maybe more free roaming, and reward characters, reward players with sort of little character things and fun things that, you know, seem to be common in Japanese games. That's going to be a great sequel. That's going to far surpass the first Special Forces game. Of course, you know, really playing to the characters, developing their solo stories in these spin-off games. To me, I mean, that was the idea with the after Mythologies. And, you know, unfortunately, Mythologies was a very mediocre game, and then Special Forces was just a piece of shit. So that kind of got abandoned. But, you know, the idea of doing Baraka games, of expanding into all these characters, that's something I think that needs to be looked at again. And after Shaolin Monks, I think they've proven that they do have the potential to, you know, to live up to that idea. And I think that's a great way of experiencing these characters. I think the fighting franchise needs to be the linchpin of the brand. I think Mortal Kombat could benefit from this sort of the running pilot season style spin-off games to try out characters and giving this mythology a chance to have the weight it deserves. You know, Ed Boon, in making references to MK9 and after Armageddon, he was talking about wiping the slate clean and reducing the number of returning characters dramatically, and I think that's a great idea. I don't think you need to be killing off the whole cast, but giving weight to these characters and really giving them, you know, building up their mythology and the weight and the importance of these characters and giving players the chance to earn a meeting with them. And that's almost an MMO conceit. And I've had chats before about an MK MMO. I think, you know, this is a franchise made for an MMO. I think that's maybe aiming a little too high as far as spin-off games go. I don't think, you know, I don't know if Midway had the technology and the capability of building an MK MMO. I don't know if it has the sustainability of an audience that would play the MK MMO, but you look at these kinds of things. Certainly a conventional RPG adventure game is something that MK could very easily fulfill. But put ideas in a drawer and use them when it's appropriate. And, you know, and this is where spin-off games can really service that. If you're making it a task to earn a meeting with some of the great characters of the series, then spin-offs are where you can do that. You can develop these characters and let them have their ideas when they're needed and do it organically. I'd like to see more of that made use of.
The Predator.
And really, a side note to this one is that's where you try all of these goofy little free fall and all these really crazy little mini game things out. And if they work, then you put them in the main Mortal Kombat games, but that's something else. The third thing I want to mention is these Test Your Might instances. It was pretty clever how you put them in Mortal Kombat versus DC Universe, because that's the right direction to put something like that. But I think if you want to do Test Your Mights, refer to the actual stuff that the real life Shaolin Monks do. Little actual test. I'm not saying whore them out in your video game, but I'm saying that those kinds of little tests, those are Test Your Might instances. The fourth thing is the emergence of the mini-games. I'm not talking about story mode. Story mode is not a mini-game, in my opinion. I'm talking about the chess combat and the motor combat thing. It's a great idea. It's the wrong direction. So when you get these mini-games, I think mini-games should be downloadable. And they should be downloadable in the form of maps, like Call of Duty 4. And depending on who you're taking through these maps in these mini-games, it should allow us to improve the character some kind of way, earn some currency some kind of way, or learn something that deepens the likeness of the characters. It adds purpose to why you would even add a minigame into the game. If you're going to put them in there, make them have purpose. You know, take Sub-Zero through hell, and if you're successful in that map, his life improves, his abilities, his agility, his resistance to things, his, you know, and then he gains a bucket of money, or he gets another power, or he gets a garment that means something to his story, something. These things need to mean something. They need to have more purpose in order for us to get more involved in them. It negates this feel about fighting games lately that it's just monotonous bullshit. Yeah, I punch you, you kick me, I punch you, throw an extra, a special power. It goes against that when you add purpose to the things that you put in the game. And that's what Mortal Kombat is missing. That is part of the potential that is being slacked on right now. That's what I want to see. I want to see these things that you put in the game mean something to the characters or the overall story or the gameplay element, the gameplay or the fantasy element, stuff that means stuff to those elements in the game. And at the end of the day, everything in the game should be motivated by story. The story should be that good. All these things should be cohesive. They should be continuous. They should all be factual. There should be consequences. All this stuff needs to mean something. It can't just be, oh, we got 80 characters in the game and they're all rushing towards the top of a pyramid. It doesn't work. All right, I still got a couple of minutes left here before I close this thing up, and I really want to do a section about characters, but I don't have a lot of time left to work on this. So what I did is I asked people, you know, how they would describe their favorite characters to you. So I guess instead of totally screwing up how they told me about their favorite characters, I just kind of graze over them. Maybe try to give you a bottom line instead of going into every little detail. It's going to be incomplete, but here we go.
Sub-Zero.
Generally, we want you to return him to his more unpredictable self, like he was in the earlier couple of games. It's almost like Batman or V from Vendetta, except for without the vigilantism. That's kind of the feel or the vibe, though. Also, explore depth in a Serena scenario, which is not exactly a love interest, but just keep in mind that women influence men. Also, use the Lin Kuei more. He's a grandmaster now. Since he's a grandmaster, the moves and fatalities and stuff he was doing in all these games up until now should see him performing them more effortless. And maybe we can do things relative to his past fatalities in normal gameplay. You know, it's a signification for growth in the character, in gameplay. An idea that I wanted to throw out there is people like to do what they see in the movies. Maybe what you could do is give us the actual fatality he did in the Mortal Kombat 1, the movie, or look at some of the stuff he was doing in the TV series.
Scorpion.
You've been listening to it all through this recording. He's a ninja, so make it so. Let go of his family and clan and move on to something else. With Scorpion, the vibe that I get is that you need to redefine honorable badass, quote unquote, with Scorpion. Probably do more with fire, and maybe make him more like a nightmare from hell. Put shades of gray in his personality. For instance, can a ninja from hell be sensitive to killing other honorable things? That's the kind of thing we're talking about.
Kitano.
First thing that I remember is people constantly saying, move her out of the soft princess area. She used to be an assassin, and that is, you know, that's not just going to go away. If you was an assassin, you know, just because your lifestyle changed, you wouldn't forget what you were just doing. You know, she should have like a shitload of issues considering she used to kill people. So the way she fights should probably debate with how she wants to live now. And also do something with Idenia. Maybe let Sindel go, kill her, let her die, whatever, and let Katana and Jade deal with being a queen of, with being the queens of Idenia or whatever.
Raiden.
Dig into this ruthless mentality and tell exactly what happened in the Aether Realm. And what I mean here is, Raiden got tainted. What happened to Quan Chi and Shang Tsung? Nothing happened to them. Also, going forward, does Raiden succeed on this course that he's on? Does he fail? What happens to Liu Kang's corpse and all of this? You know, answer all of that stuff. I want to see Raiden kill a couple of these big bosses or maybe some of these clans that we have in Mortal Kombat. If he's trying to get rid of the threats to Earth, there you go. After that, I think Raiden should be caught and brought before the Elder Gods. It's at this point where you strip him of his god rights, R-I-T-E-S, and make him a human for violations against deity law or credo or whatever. The point here is good gods are not supposed to practice dark arts, among other things. In general, make the gods in Mortal Kombat seem more powerful. You can make them as almighty as you want to, but give them an Achilles heel. In Greek and in Japanese mythology, you can kill a god like Zeus or Raiden, but it should be virtually impossible. Look at what the God of War series is doing. Of course you're not supposed to be able to kill the gods, but look at what Kratos is going through in order to be able to. And that's the point. Look at what he had to go through to kill Ares. That shit is impossible.
Johnny Cage.
For Johnny Cage, make him more important or let him go. My main question right now that I can come up with based on what people are saying about the character and stuff is what would a bitter Johnny Cage look like? He's been dead a couple of times, and what are you going to do with his personality now? What would a hobo Johnny Cage be like? Like, you know, a really, you know, a beard and mustache and crummy clothes. Maybe he's not as popular as he used to be in the media and all that. Something to think about. It came up on the boards once, and I thought it was pretty cool. I wanted to go ahead and say that.
Smoke.
Dig into his backstory and explain whether he even has a consciousness right now. You know, he could be trapped within all the programming that he's under Noob Saibot. Does he know that he's with the Elder Sub-Zero, Noob Saibot? His old Lin Kuei friend? For his appearance, go more ethereal with Smoke. A lot of people like that idea. He should probably be the most ghost-like character on the roster.
Liu Kang.
Leave him dead. We need to be talking about his legacy, just like the Elder Kung Lao, not his corpse.
Kung Lao.
Replace Bo Raicho with Kung Lao, age him maybe, and make him the Mortal Kombat sensei. He's perfect.
Baraka.
Get rid of him or make him more intelligent. He also needs to be a lot more terrifying now. Have him fight for his rank within the Tarkatans.
Shang Tsung.
Drag him through the mud. The same with Shao Kahn, as a matter of fact. I'm not even going to waste time on another section for him. Both of them, Shang Tsung and Shao Kahn, either kill him, change him dramatically, but no matter what, drag him through the mud. Kind of like how they did in the last Batman or in the Iron Man movie. So that we could
feel the power of Shao Kahn.
Basically, just let us into to the psyche of Shang Tsung and Shao Kahn if you ever bring those characters back. Alright. Hard to believe, but I ended up leaving a whole bunch of stuff out. So anyway, first, thanks to the Mortal Kombat team for listening into this thing, this monstrosity, if you have, and if you took the time to go through the whole thing and listen to the whole thing. Hopefully, what can happen here is you can take a few things away from this podcast, and we actually get to see some of these things applied in the future. That's the hope, anyway. Just wanted to note that we catch all the considerations and the accommodations and stuff like that that you guys make for fans in the game and stuff like that. You know, we catch it. A few of us do, anyway. Thanks especially to Hector and Hans for the shout-outs. Didn't do anything, as if it should have. Personally, I take a job, though. Thanks to all the guests and everything. It's good to see Tobias back. Hopefully we'll get to hear that he's working on a future game for us or something like that. Everybody who sent in content for me to put in this thing, you know I couldn't fit it all in, even though I wanted to. I really wanted to do that character section. I really wanted to, like, because, well, a couple of people, that's where most of the content was, is in the character stuff. But I wanted it to be more general, more vague, and encompass more. So as you probably noticed, I did a lot of talking, which, I don't know, you can blame that on me, I guess. So if you feel like I shorted your content a lot, I had to take out a lot of the character-specific stuff, because what it was really supposed to be, it was supposed to be that we were going to tell the MK team, you guys who are listening, what each character was supposed to be to us, you know. Like for me, I was supposed to tell him how Raiden's supposed to be, what he's supposed to be doing in gameplay, what I see that he's, you know, supposed to be doing in his story, etc., etc. Instead, I can only graze over stuff, so that's my fault. Oh, we gotta give it up to Little Rabbit Foot.
Little Rabbit Foot.
For giving us her voice for Pink Ranger, and in general, as well as Mick Lucifer for the sound bites. Also, shout out to T-Rex for providing the music rips, except for the MK versus DC stuff. That came up last minute, at, you know, just in the last day or so. I was able to put that in those last few tracks you heard in. I don't know the person who ripped those, but thanks for allowing people to get them. I don't know how to rip stuff. I'm relying on my resources for that. And anyway, I ain't doing another one of these. Hell no, 2 hours? I mean, if I ever do another one, it'd be a lot shorter. And it would have to be by request and specific. It'd be a lot shorter. Last thing here is, you gotta excuse the mess. I didn't have a specific order after the story section. And besides that, take your pick. I had a shitty mic. I'm not a sound tech. Yeah, hey, you're not paying me. Whatever. Anyway, let me get the hell out of here. That's pretty much it. Hit me up for anything, though. You see the name.
The Predator.